You know, thinking back from this election day, we always knew the president would be running, right? A one-termer is not even a second prize in American politics anymore. It's the admission of some national error.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, tonight is your answer.
We are in front of the White House in Washington, D.C. Barack Obama has just been elected President of the United States of America. That's right. We are going to have a black POTUS, baby! A black POTUS!
Hope and Change began to meet the folks in the neighborhood 4 years ago.
A fiscal stimulus plan that will jumpstart economic growth is long overdue. I've talked about it throughout this, the last few months of the campaign. We should get it done.
There was a friendly send-off from the outgoing president.
Country faces economic challenges that will not pause to let a new president settle in.
Thanks a lot there, George.
We'll need to bring together the best minds in America to guide us. And that is what I've sought to do in assembling my economic team.
And two wars would be brought to a close slowly under Obama's leadership. Drone wars would escalate. Promises to close Guantanamo Bay unmet. The bitterness over health care and the environment. The 2012 campaign seemed to begin almost immediately.
Today, I am announcing my exploratory committee for the presidency of the United States.
I make a very proud statement and a fact that we have a president that's a socialist.
I call it my 999 economic growth plan.
Suddenly the word Iowa keeps coming up.
We traveled around and did 385 town hall meetings in Iowa. We weren't out there trashing anybody.
We have some differences between us.
Hey, listen, you try concentrating with Mitt Romney smiling at you. That is one handful.
You hear the new and old voices of all those challengers.
This president has failed. And he's failed at a time when the American people counted on him to create jobs and get the economy going.
The Obama administration is an anti-jobs, anti-business, anti-American energy.
And here we are.
And I can now project that Mitt Romney is the winner.
Mr. Chairman and delegates, I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
I'm Jim Lehrer of the PBS NewsHour, and I welcome you to the first of the 2012 presidential debates.
There are a lot of points I want to make tonight, but the most important one is that 20 years ago I became the luckiest man on earth because Michelle Obama agreed to marry me.
What things would I cut from spending? I'm going to stop other things. I like PBS. I love Big Bird. I actually like you, too.
It's been done a couple of times.
It has never been done.
Jack Kennedy lowered tax rates, increased growth. Ronald Reagan.
Now you're Jack Kennedy.
Ronald Reagan.
We are here for the second presidential debate, a town hall.
I think it's interesting the president just said something, which is that on the day after the attack, he went in the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that al-Qaeda is a threat. Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia, not al-Qaeda. He said Russia in the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
And attacking me is not an agenda.
I won't just represent one party. I'll represent one nation.
Fire up! Ready to go!
You vote for your own reasons. Maybe it has nothing to do with all the sound bites and the campaign rhetoric. And we hope you keep to that. Happy one more time, Election Day in America. And we're going to leave you with some thoughts on other issues, real issues, not candidates on the ballot around the country, about 176 ballot measures at issue in polling places around the United States. Here to tell us what he's watching for is Andrew Cohen, contributing editor for The Atlantic. He's also a legal analyst for CBS's 60 Minutes. Andrew, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, John.
So what are you looking at that's particularly significant? 4 years ago, gay marriage was a big issue out in California, but there's a whole variety of issues on the ballot this time around.
Yeah, there are. And I'm going to start with California. I think there are two big issues on the ballot, death penalty and the three strikes law, the famous three strikes law that sent so many Californians to a jail. What you have here is California contemplating the financial costs of these sorts of programs. There are 725 people on death row in California. There hasn't been an execution there in a long, long time. And conservatives and liberals have come together there to make the economic case. Look, life without parole is a cheaper alternative to the death penalty, since we can't seem to do the death penalty correctly. And that was winning. Proposition 34 was winning in the polls the last time I checked. So California has a chance now to save some money and to really revamp its criminal justice system. If that happens, I think that would be something that other states might follow.
Interesting. So economics meeting criminal justice, in this is not the kind of issue that voters typically weigh in on in the ballot measure process. So it's pretty interesting how much of a sort of a tension point it's reached in the state of California.
Well, and California has been a leader, right? With the three strikes law in California was a leader when it was enacted. The idea there would be you eliminate some nonviolent portions of that. I'm also looking at same-sex marriage. It's come up. It'll be on the ballot in four states in one form or another. Some states will be asking voters to approve the definition of marriage as only between a man and a woman. Some are going to try to repeal legislation. And marijuana is a big issue that we're looking at. Three states, including Colorado, have legalization efforts or medical marijuana efforts on the ballot. The last time there was a poll in Colorado, it was also leading. Amendment 64 was also leading. And of course, that would be a very big deal. It would become the first state to legalize marijuana, even though it's still essentially a crime under federal law.
The judiciary is at issue in places from New Hampshire to Florida. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, what you have in the states that were overrun by Tea Party politicians in 2010 are these very ambitious efforts to undermine the authority and the independence of the judiciary on the state level. And so you have New Hampshire, Florida, Arizona, Missouri, efforts there to basically make the judicial process more political, to give the other branches of government oversight over the judiciary in a way that probably isn't constitutional, but which may pass. That's something we've been watching for the past couple of years now in all these states. Voters will decide. And of course, you know, it's a frustrating thing for voters. They approve some of these measures, and then they realize afterward that the measures are unconstitutional. So I think we're going to see some litigation on some of these issues as we go forward. And of course, you know, no preview of this stuff could be complete without talking about Joe Arpaio, the sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona. He is the sheriff that gets sued by the federal government, by his fellow county officials. There are allegations of misconduct and so on and so forth. Tens of millions of dollars spent in all these investigations, and yet he is still winning in the polls.
And he's not a ballot. I mean, he's a ballot measure. He's a candidate. He's an issue. He's sort of everything all rolled into one.
Exactly. He is a symbol. He's a symbol for anti-immigration. He's a symbol for all sorts of things. He was at the Republican National Convention, but they wouldn't let him talk inside the room. He talked. He made a speech at a zoo, the zoo in Tampa, by the elephants. So he is a caricature, and he is also a symbol. And it'll be interesting to see how many fewer people vote for him this time around. He actually has some decent opposition. There is a poll that suggests he's within striking distance, but it'll be interesting to see how many votes he lost since 2008. There has been a lot of bad stuff that's happened there since then.
Andrew Cohen, contributing editor of The Atlantic and legal analyst for 60 Minutes. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Watching the ballot measures around the country. You're watching this voting day. Paul in New York tweeted us, voting in Central Harlem, 140th Street, long lines, few machines, very small room that's overcrowded, people frustrated, democracy in action. In Carmel, Indiana, she tweets, they can't get the machines to work. Been here since 5:45. No one has voted. Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tune in tomorrow as we look at the outcome of this election. I'm John Huckenberry. That will be your takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with the New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.